This is Eddie Green, and welcome to Selling People, Not a Process. I wanted to extend the series out today. We're stuck in the middle of developing a servant's heart. I wanted to welcome a special guest today. He was a person responsible for bringing me into the disaster restoration industry to begin with. I have the pleasure and honor of working with him now, and this is Sean Michael Lewis with the Niche Experience.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you. Please settle down. Hey, I'm excited to be here, Eddie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So, you know, the one cool thing about the way that Sean and I actually came to fruition is my best friend's mom was a property manager at a place that he was building in a subdivision that he was building a home, and he was looking for a commercial sales guy. I had a job. I wasn't looking for a job, but she was insistent that I meet him, A, because of our experience in the music industry, and B, because he was actually looking for somebody who could sell, and that's my track record. So we met at a Starbucks. He told me about disaster restoration. I knew nothing about it, but the more he told me about it, the more excited I got, and I pursued that opportunity. And then I kind of realized, coming from an immediate gratification industry, that man, I don't know if I made the right decision. So I'm going to let Sean tell you guys. He's found the new sound effects stuff here at Check One Studios in beautiful Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. But he found ways to be able to keep me motivated. And part of his mentality in sales lines up so directly with mine, which is having a servant's heart. And if you can explain that really in your words and what that means.
Well, you know, it's really about, when you're looking at any business or any type of position that you want to be a part of, it's really about just focusing on what is important to the people you're trying to do business with. So do you really care? Do you really have a heart to understand what's important for their business? And in our case of restoration, it was a very mixed, unique position it put us in, because here we are, we're there making money off of some significant loss or something that's very traumatic for them. And here we are, we're coming in saying, yes, we can save the day, we can do this, but we had to really look at like what was important for those clients in a time of need. What have they experienced in the past that they did and did not like? And it's a complete different mentality, because if you just show up for work and you just go through the motions and you just try to do the bare minimum, you're going to find yourself hopping from job to job to job. And that's where we see a lot of salespeople. I mean, we really had to put a wall up and stop hiring salespeople that were just looking for a paycheck and not more of a career and a heart for what they were doing.
Right. And, you know, the one thing that he kept telling me over and over and over is, you're not selling anything. He said, you're constructing, building, maintaining, and deepening relationships. And, you know, relationships take communication, but more importantly, they take a genuine care and concern for your prospective client and their needs. So, you know, for the first 60 days, I struggled. I mean, to be real honest, I would go home and I would talk with my wife and I would say, hey, you know, the situation is, you know, I'm trying to make money off of bad things happening to people, and I don't know if I made the right decision. And then our very first loss that came into play was at a big historic church in downtown Tulsa. It was an emergency ready profile client. And when I got the phone call, Sean met me downtown, and I can remember just vividly the director of facilities. Her name was Brenda. She came running down the stairs and she looked at me and said, my superhero is here. And I had this big paradigm shift of, I'm not here to make money off of their hardship. I'm here to fix the things that they can't. And really, due to sheer ignorance, because I didn't know anything really about disaster restoration, it was my first loss. The first question out of my mouth is like, look, you know, we're masters of this water thing, because it was a big five floor water loss and they'd never had one since 1929. What's important to you? And, you know, that was where Sean's teaching, because he was my direct report, where his teaching really came into play. And I'm going to let him expand on that about the what's important to you scenario.
Yeah. And, you know, sales and restoration can be very scary. And we were talking about that many times in the past. And, you know, it's just like, well, what do we do? Like, we don't have a turnkey solution necessarily if there's not a loss. So how are we building that relationship? And how are we finding out what's important to them? Look, every customer or client is going to have a different mentality of what's important for them personally, and maybe what's important for their business. Do they work for a business? Do they own a business? These are questions that you have to uncover in the sales process so you can get to those niche questions that focus on, you know, if there was a fire, if there was a water loss, what is most important to you? In the case of the church, it was all about, you know, we have to be open for Sunday service. We have to be open, and we don't think there's any way that's going to happen. So we went back to the drawing board. We went back to our team. We figured out what could we do to uniquely make that happen. And Eddie came up with an amazing solution. He said, look, I will come out here. I will turn equipment off. We will start the process, but during your service, we'll make sure it's shut down so you can still have that service and you can still have that consistency with your congregation. And that blew them away. They did not think that we were thinking off of their initial strategy. Yeah, we were able to take care of the job and get it done. And yeah, we had to shut things down for a few hours, but that was important for the client because we asked. We didn't assume. We didn't make any type of move without running it by the client to make sure their needs and validated that with them.
Yeah, and I think that the most importantly, you know, whenever we asked them, you know, what was their specific needs, and they said, you know, hey, we have televised services and all this equipment's going to be loud. We have elderly patrons. They're going to trip over all of this equipment. Immediately, my mindset shifted to how can I be a solution to that problem? And the solution was, is I'll get out of bed at 6:30 in the morning. I will come down, meet the facilities person here, move the equipment out of the way, shut it off, and we will come back at 1:30 and get everything put back in place and do it again. Well, it seems like, you know, that the common mentality is going to be that that's double work. It's also, too, going to extend the drying time. But the most important thing to the client was that they were going to be able to have serve both services and their televised service that day. So their need had to be my need. And it had to be our company's need. And that's really where I started to think critically outside of the box for every client, you know, going, if we know how to effectively mitigate damage, fire, water, mold, biotrauma, hazmat, the whole thing, set that aside. But what can I do for you? What's the most important thing that I can potentially do for you? And I think that's that heart shift. It puts you in the place of that particular client. Now you're being empathetic. You're being a strategic partner with them in their business.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, Eddie, because, you know, when you really show that your heart is on your sleeve for them and that you really show that you're there for them, it goes a lot more than just saying certain words. It's actually showing, like, look, I'm willing to go above and beyond to be there to help you. And that's what really moves the gap from them trusting you and feeling that they have a solid relationship with you is, wow, they really care about me and my business. And that's what wins them over every time. And if the job is completed well and the services are great, they're never going to call anybody else because they trust you, they feel validated with you. And it just brings, you know, it's a good feeling when you go home at night, like, wow, I really feel good about my job. I really feel good about what I'm doing. It's not about sucking water or cleaning fire damage. It's about taking care of people.
Yeah. And it's, you know, somebody asked me one time, they said, you know, how do you determine success? And they said, do you do it by the amount of commissions that you make, the number of jobs that you've sold? You know, what are your metrics for determining success? And I thought long and hard about that. And I said, I determine success by whether or not the client would call me back. Did I do a good enough job that they would trust me to do it again? And, you know, as this process or as this series develops, you're going to hear more and more stories. But the one thing is we're going to end with that I want to challenge you with is I want you to really, we talked last time about doing three things to where you could change. The big thing is that I want you to really sit down and realize, are you leading with your head or are you leading with your heart whenever it comes to your clients? Do you genuinely care about their livelihood, their well-being, and are the services that you're providing going above and beyond anything that you currently can just provide as a company? If your answer is yes, then you are already well on your way to developing that servant's heart mentality. But this whole sales process paradigm has shifted and people want to do business with real people. Now, they don't want to do business with these boiler room closers that you're just a number and you're just there for them to, or for you to make commission off of.
No, absolutely. And that if you really take that to heart and you really put that into your day-to-day strategy, you are going to see significant improvements and success in your career. So Eddie, I think this has been a great topic. You've really hit the nail on the head with this philosophy. You know, please do not ignore these words. I mean, we talk about this with people all the time and they just don't execute on those actions. So take it to heart. implement it in your day-to-day and start making a difference for your business.
It is about the execution, and that's a difference between just being a regular, everyday, average salesperson and an ultra-high performer. It's going to be the execution of those little things that are going to make you different, make you great. When you go to sleep at night, know how you can make a difference in the world tomorrow. So, guys, I want to thank Sean for joining me today. I also, too, want to thank you for taking time out to listen. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or feedback, drop me a line at eddie@tierlevel.com. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon.